This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
If you're looking for love, well, you've come to the wrong place. Because Kirsten and Scally, well, they don't know a thing. And the men that they cast on this show are truly a disgrace. So we don't care about the love that might be there. Yeah, we just want to see the drama.
And welcome back to the Love Island USA coverage on the reality TV wrap-up feed / Hot Tummies on Islands feed. I'm, of course, Kirsten McInnes, joined, as always, by the amazing Brian Scally. Scally, how are you?
Hello, hello. Back to back, night after night, just like Love Island schedule. We're back here talking about another bunch of episodes from Love Island US.
Truly. Did you miss me?
Too much, honestly. So glad to be back here.
So good. And I know I don't need to ask about all the other podcasts you've done because it's not applicable.
No, not today. Not today. Maybe one stream and that's about it.
How are you feeling another three episodes into Love Island USA?
Three episodes in. Still right on top of the world with Love Island USA. Honestly, I gotta give it to this season. I even heard from some people who are like, is this like a UK season? Like, does this, because AKA, is it good? Like, question mark. So I'm enjoying it. Like we said last time, I feel like these people are messy. I think that they have only continued to be so. I think we thought that maybe some of the mess was getting resolved on the last batch of episodes, but no, not at all. It kept going through.
Nope, not resolved. And in fact, we got new mess. And I've got to say, talking it out yesterday did get me more on board with things. But then watching the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday episodes, I'm all in, baby. This Ooh. Is a great season of Love Island. I'm back at it.
I'm so excited. Yeah, definitely very excited to hear that. I have been like very much looking forward to hearing your thoughts after last podcast, because I feel like this group has only gotten messier, which is somehow possible despite my expectations.
These people are cracked as hell. Where did they find them? I don't understand. I'm here for it. I love this. I love the mess. So I guess we can pick up basically where we left off, because last time we were really thinking about, you know, who's going to couple up with who, who's going to be mad at who. And I was convinced that Cassie was going to go home because Keenan was mad at her. And Keenan is mad.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, so we were like, okay, so obviously Keenan and KK are going to couple up because he's going to completely write Cassie off. And from this opening conversation, Keenan's like, I'm mad. But then Cassie starts crying and he's like, no, don't cry. Okay, like, well, I feel like you're telling the truth. And like, you made me look dumb. But also, like, Cass, I don't know what to do here. So I was like, wait, there's actually still a chance that this could happen.
I feel like Keenan has no problem making his own self look dumb without anybody else's help. And that's fine. That's who we want on these shows. The feed is called Hot Dummies on Islands. He's a hot dummy. He's on an island.
Mm-hmm. So she pulled back from that kiss and it seemed like there was not going to be any coming back from that. But shockingly, this conversation seems to go somewhat well, even if Keenan's recollection of it later is that he shut things down. To me, it felt like Keenan was still very much confused at this point.
I don't think he ever stops being confused, right? Like, that's this is just his vibe right now, and that's fine. Like, he's not a classic himbo, but he's in the realm.
Yeah. So, I mean, because even when he then goes to Cassie, he's just like, I just feel like crap. Like, I disrespected you. I know that's your thing. Like, I embarrassed you. And KK giving Ariana Maddox energy even here, where she's like, I'm not the one who's embarrassed. It should be you. Like, you're the one who embarrassed yourself. And that's fine. Like, you'll get over it and we'll move forward.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm annoyed, but pushing on this is not going to actually change anything. Let's just see what happens and we'll keep moving. Like, karma will get, we'll get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the karma is karming. So, you know, Keenan strayed for like a hot minute, came back and just feels immense guilt. And she's like, yep, that's what will happen if you dare do it again.
Literally, she's like, I don't need to teach you a lesson. You can learn it yourself here on national television. And I love that energy. I think that a lot of times, especially in, you know, straight couples, as a society, we really push on like the woman in the relationship has to like teach the man how to, you know, be a man. It's like, no, let adults learn their own lessons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do feel like we're still coming out of this where they're not completely closed necessarily.
No,
I
not
do
at think- all.
Yeah, and I feel like even in a later conversation, Keenan asked KK, like, if someone who came in who's, like, completely your type, how are you going to get, like, how are you going to react? She's like, I'd get to know them. And he's like, okay, sure. So I think that no one's completely closed off yet, but they just have this mutual understanding of, like, as long as it is not disrespectful, then we're okay. And I don't think that it has yet crossed that line.
I feel like in general, most people have been pretty respectful, but I feel like the bar of what is respectful and what is not is wild for these people.
Well, yeah, that is all over the place because some people have like a really high bar that I don't necessarily agree with where it's just
No, you're accepting mistreatment. Stop it.
So it depends. Sometimes I'm like, again, like, okay, they wave to someone and you're mad. And then sometimes, or like you expect like an undue level of commitment, Victor. And then there's other people who I feel like maybe just like whatever happens, happens and see where it goes.
Name names.
I don't know. I feel like Anna wasn't putting any feet down anytime soon.
I was watching the Tuesday episode and Josh wasn't really watching, but he was like in the room. And at the end of the Tuesday episode, he was like, she doesn't emote, does she? I was like, no, she does not.
Yeah, I actually have enjoyed Anna more than I thought I was going to initially. And like nothing against her. I just feel like things have worked out for her, but not really like by her own doing. And I'm not saying that
passenger.
She is a
passenger in this game. The other thing, too, is I feel like she probably does have a bit of a funny, goofy personality that we're not really seeing that much of. Like, I feel like especially when she's talking to Harrison and they have total friend vibes, it feels more natural and like, oh, yeah, I like this girl. But then we're not getting to see it, which is a classic Love Island situation.
Oh my God, if I had to hear Buenos Nachos one more time.
OK, that was not OK. That, to be like, fair, that was literally offensive.
Congratulations. It's the least funny person you've ever met in Anna right here. Like, this was like, OK, maybe there is no sense of humor because before that I was coming around. But I don't know. She's kind of, again, even here, she's like, I kind of wish that we kissed after a challenge. And he's like, girl, what are you talking about? Come here. Like, she is always hinting at things and never really like being straightforward.
I mean, I do think that that could also be like a socialized thing more than anything else. And she was like hinting. She was like, oh, I just wish we'd kiss in another context. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, now's my time.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I am enjoying the people who are more direct on the show.
Me too. Speaking of direct, I feel like Harrison is very direct.
Harrison is not indirect, that's for sure, huh?
I mean, I have heard he has brutal honesty.
That is true. He's saying basically he's going to get to know everyone. I mean, look, Jasmine tried to trick him like, are you having fun with me or do you feel like you need to get to know everyone else? And he said, I'm going to get to know everyone else, in fact.
I mean, imagine being like, no, I'm having fun with you. I met you last night and let's get married. Let's lock it down. No need to talk to anybody else.
Could not be the Love Islanders that I like. But even the thing is that Jasmine, I guess because she has spoken to like, you know, four people before this, none of whom really seem to interest her all that much. As soon as Harrison comes in the villa, she's like, sorry, girls, I locked him down and none of you even stood a chance. Like, OK, Jasmine, sure.
OK, it's giving overconfident. Harrison like comes in and instantly is like, I'm going to do the Love Island thing. I'm going to start making breakfast for these women. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's always the non-American ones. And then the American boys are always like, oh, wait, are we supposed to be doing that?
Yeah, because he's watched Love Island Australia, I'm presuming. Yeah.
He knows
the game.
He knows that the like bare minimum thing you can do for the woman in Love Island is prepare them a food or beverage in the morning.
Yeah, the girls get ready and debrief, and the boys cook breakfast and debrief. That's Love Island.
Imagine if everybody was a Love Island super fan like Ariana Maddox.
If only. My favorite thing is when Harrison is flirting with Jasmine at the kitchen counter, and I'm not shaming whatsoever, but it was very funny to me, like, given the context of our capitalist world, when he's like, what I know about you is like, you love to work all the time, like 36 hours a week. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, he said it seemed like, cause she's, Jasmine was the ER nurse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, you like hide that you work so hard by acting like you're so crazy, but like you wouldn't be where you are if you didn't work hard. And we do know that Harrison worked 5 jobs within a year of getting out of university. So that's something he really values. And she's like, yeah, 36 to 40 hours a week.
Which, look, especially as like a nurse in general, very intensive work, just was very funny for that to be how they measured it.
Honestly, 36 to 40 hours is too much time to work in a week. I agree.
Way too much. But again, way too much. Everyone should be working nothing, but no work at all. But I just thought it was funny that it's like, in the context of the world that we live in, to use that as a measurement.
100%. And she was like, yeah, I work so hard, 36 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to be fair, like my full-time like job that pays my rent is only 35 hours a week.
There you go. I don't know what the Australian work schedule is like too. What if in Australia they only work 20 hours a week? And so he's like absolutely floored.
Someone call Sarah Carradine. We need to know. Or Shannon Guz.
What if?
Imagine he's like, oh damn, she's working doubles every day. He's like, yeah, I can work 5 jobs because we work for half an hour at each one. The Australian dollar tends to be at like a similar strength to the Canadian dollar, but things are pretty expensive there. So yes. I would doubt it, but
I mean, that much I do know. I just, you know,
you never know. Maybe they work 5 minutes a week.
Mm-hmm.
And more power to them. Yeah. We need to talk about Bergie. And I mean that in like a very, we need to talk about Kevin kind of way.
Okay. I was going to ask, there's so much to discuss with Bergie and Cassie and Carmen and Hannah and Victor and everyone, but I want to get a quick updated feeling on Bergie from you. How do we feel?
So Bergie is clearly getting more comfortable, which is good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're getting to actually know him a little bit, which is what I had hoped for after the premiere episode. I still think that the fish out of water vibe is a little played out, but you know, he is bringing drama and he's a little shit disturber too later this week. Like, oh, people think it's dear, sweet, innocent Bergie. No, he's playing games.
And that's the thing for me is I still have an issue with how some people treat Bergie, but all it really takes is that one person to take Bergie seriously, and we can discuss later whether that one person is legitimately taking Bergie seriously. But it seems like at least outwardly we have that one person, and all of a sudden Bergie is a legitimate character on the show for me now.
I mean, I guess I still feel off about it, and I think that because of the way the cast has infantilized him to this point. Agreed. He kind of gets away with shit that he wouldn't otherwise get away with, which really irks me.
Interesting. I am curious. Let's put a pin in that. Yeah, flag up when we get to things, what you think other people would not get away with, because that's what I'm curious to talk about.
Well, so I can just say it now. Like, we don't have to go in perfect order. So, like, I feel like Bergy, when he is one-on-one with especially Carmen, he will make promises such as like, oh, I'm definitely giving you coffee in the morning. Oh, like, it's happening. And then he doesn't do it. And he just gets to go, oh, well, you know, it was awkward. And I was worried that it'd be awkward. And be like, I mean, that shouldn't disqualify him from getting a second chance. But I feel like nobody even was like, don't do that. Like, why did you bring Cassie a coffee and not one to Carmen, who you specifically promised one to? He should have gotten scolded. Like, he doesn't need to be disqualified from having like the chance or anything like that. Like, it's not the worst thing ever. It's not like how pretty much every other man is acting, but I feel like he gets away with more and it bugs me.
I'm interested.
I think he can just go, oh, who, me? I've only kissed 3 girls and had sex with 2 girls.
I don't even feel like
anyone would have been treated differently.
Okay, I'm not doubting him, but I don't feel like anyone would have gotten treated not extremely differently in that situation. I feel like when Marco goes ahead and doesn't bring Hannah coffee, like, sure, she is like brings it up and like is moving forward, but he has a reason, just like Bergy had a reason. And then it's like, okay, we're communicating and we move past that. I do think that there are times in which people, you know, obviously are still infantilizing him, but I am not like fully out there. I don't know.
Getting a little bit better, but yeah, I don't know. And also, like, with the Marco thing, to be fair, she did say like, it's the principle of the matter. Like, even if it's bad, you should have brought it to me. And like, Bergy didn't even get that. And also Bergy didn't even learn how to make the coffee. What is with all these people not knowing how to brew a pot of coffee?
I will. First of all, I don't drink coffee, so I would not know how. Not like
you,
not
but you have no concept of how a pot of coffee is made.
Like an idea, especially. I assume it's just like a Keurig, so I could handle that.
For my curiosity, if there was a coffee pot, some filters and grounds, how do you think it gets?
Just feel like you put the filter in the top part, and then you pour grounds in, and then you hit on.
You just have to add water and then you've got it.
Okay. Well, there we go.
Yeah. You're like, see,
I did realize fine. I was like, is the water already in the machine? But
for like Keurig type machines, normally the yes, back yes. is full of water already. So,
but again, look, and that's the thing is, again, I would understand with all of these people being 21 through 23, if none of them had like one piece of life experience. Seems like he has a number of them missing, but I'm still just like, you know what, as long as he is willing to learn and listen and have those conversations, he has a good relationship with Hannah in which she comes and talks to him later and says like, you know, she's looking out for him and being like, you know, Carmen says like Victor's kind of clingy and like you make your move in now, but she also says she talks about, and Carmen brings up like, why didn't you do the coffee? Like, that's something that we'll talk to you about and like coach you on. So look, obviously,
yeah, but the other men aren't being treated like, oh, they need a coach.
Yeah. True.
I don't know. And I know like they're all like, they're like baby adults, right? Like they all think they're grown. And in like 10 years, they're going to be like, damn, I can't believe I thought I was grown at that point, you know?
I don't know. I just do feel like there have been many cases of people like hyping each other up. And like, it's just, it comes from a different place. But I still don't think that he is getting, like, you know, I don't think that he is getting like get a jail free passes over and over and over by any means.
I do think Cassie would set her boundaries differently with him if he were different. Like, even when they're having like after her first night, like sleeping with him, she's like, sure. Oh, the cuddling was like a lot. And like how he has to be talked to about that. And then when she talks to him about, she's like, oh, I'm the first girl you've ever cuddled. Like, oh, like, well, but no, you have a boundary that you need to put up.
That I agree. I do also, I mean, I think it was KK and Carmen were talking about how, like, we have no problem that Bergy picked her, but they kind of think that Cassie is leading Bergy on. And yes. I do think that
I agree with that.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, based on what we've seen, my read is that Cassie is leading Bergy on. She doesn't seem actually into him. And Bergy even says, and like, you know, like, bless Bergy's heart when he's like, you know, because I had a lot of options and people are really into me. And it's like, yeah, the night before the recoupling. But Bergy says, like, I don't want a friendship couple. I want romance. And people are, and like, I wish that Cass would have had that conversation, at least that we got to see on screen, where it's like the cuddling was a little much, and I, rather than like behind the back, like it was a lot, but like I'm not going to tell him because I don't know how he would take it.
Yeah, like that, I don't know. I think she's probably the worst offender for it at this point, and most other people have kind of moved on,
because that does him no favors either.
No, it doesn't help anything, and it also doesn't do her any favors, because like other people watching that are going to come in are like, oh, well, she won't tell you to your face. She'll talk about you behind your back. Got it.
Yep, exactly. So I don't know. I think that it was a little weird. I mean, even in Bergy and Cassie's first conversation, like it felt very surface level. Bergy is talking about how he's never had a girlfriend. And it's very like, oh, like, good for you. Like, oh, this is not great.
She's like, I hate being single. And he's like, yeah, me too. I've only been single. And she's like, oh, that's so cute. Like, what? I also feel like all of the pre-recoupling stuff with Carmen, I feel like Carmen did a good job of being non-committal with Bergy. Like, I really was like, does she like him? Does she not like him? Is she just like pandering? I don't know. But by the end of this batch, I feel like I'm like, okay, I think Carmen's like mostly genuine at least. So good for her.
My thing is that in the pre-recoupling stuff, I mean, she talks up, like, Bergy talks up his game of like, he knows he'll be an amazing husband and father one day. And I think Carmen like agrees with all of that. And I think that she is the only one who never completely closed herself off to Bergy. I feel like a lot of people, whether it's in the first moment they saw him or pretty quickly thereafter, were like, oh, that's cute, but like, I'm never going there. That's never happening. And Carmen even says, like, even though Victor was at mile five and Bergy was a quarter mile in, like, the door's not closed still. It's just going to go very, very, very slow.
Yes, 100%. And she also is obviously not feeling it with Victor, because she goes to Victor and says, like, you know, I had a talk with Bergy. I want to move slow. I'm going to keep getting to know Bergy. And Victor, like, seems understanding of that for a while until he turns into a demon.
Yeah, if only that had been the energy that was kept all week. It was very strange, where I feel like I was hearing a lot of Victor's the best guy in the villa, and oh my god, we actually like Victor and he's not a dud, to all of a sudden like Victor's a monster and we all hate him. So
it really, I don't understand what they're showing us with Victor. Like, I feel like I don't know him at all. I like briefly liked him a little bit and then was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, it was really strange to me. I mean, we can just jump ahead, I guess, through with like the Carmen and Victor stuff. It felt like I don't know that he wasn't taking her seriously, but it did feel like he was jealous but refused to admit that he was jealous because it was Bergy specifically.
Well, yeah, I think that he like said everything was fine because it was Bergy, which he didn't take seriously as a threat. And then when he actually did, you know, get some attention from Carmen, now Victor's pride is hurt. And he straight up says at the start of the Tuesday episode, like, well, I didn't think of him as real competition.
He says it multiple times. And the only, like, a couple people stand up there, like, especially Carmen and Marco has said stuff. It was like the one time where I'm like, all right, Marco, like, let's go.
Thing Marco's done right.
So he basically says, like, what you're not going to do is count him out and belittle him. And I think that a lot of people are doing that in less obvious ways. And Victor is, I mean, the stuff that Victor says to Bergy in the room later on the Tuesday episode, I felt like was really gross.
Victor chooses to be like, well, you know what? All of the rest of the men would die for each other, but you wouldn't do that for us, Bergy. Like, you're not a guy's guy.
It was so weird. And it seemed like he was just othering him. And this was also partially like Victor using English as his second language. So like, yes. I wasn't quite sure in the like, and whether it was like, and you're not one of them or whatever. And so it was, would like, he's saying Bergie doesn't put the same level of respect towards them, or like, you are not a part of this group. And you are not a part of this group, I thought was a harsh interpretation. If like,
not
harsh.
Yeah, that's not like, what I took from it, that he's saying basically like the rest of the guys are all for each other and you're obviously only for yourself is the vibe that I got from it. But you could definitely interpret it in a less generous way.
Yeah. So I think that pretty tough. I, you know, did not love that. And Bergie immediately like falls in back into like apologizing, and then just like, oh, Carmen said that, like, oh, okay. And it's like, I wish Bergie did stand up for himself a little bit more here, even if it's, you know, well, not
but, yeah, but, and but Victor's straight up lying.
Yeah,
because like Carmen has already, like, Carmen gets mad at Victor and is like, why did you tell Bergie that I just saw him as a friend when I've never said that to you? I've always made it very clear he's a contender. And Victor's like, yeah, sorry I lied. And then he goes straight back to Bergie. He's like, well, she did say that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not doing yourself any favors, because anyone new coming in is going to see this.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I did take notes specifically of when Bergie was like, I'm talking to Cassie and I'm talking to Carmen and they're friends, so I'm making sure that I don't say anything different to one girl and then not to the other, because it's obviously going to get around the villa. It was like, look at Bergie like doing his due diligence to make sure that he like is, you know, as stand up as he can be, and then just has someone lying straight to his face with no care.
Literally, he's like, at least, you know, trying to communicate like an adult, which I do really respect.
Hmm. But
yeah, it's not good. Anyways, not sorry for getting so out of there. I feel like Bergie and Cassie never felt like it was real, and so I was very much on board with everyone saying that, you know, she's using him.
Hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I feel like as soon as that was brought up, it's like, oh, okay, I'm glad that you guys are also talking about it, because it's something that I thought, and I feel like I pretty much knew was going to happen at some point, but it came off even more overt with Cassie. And to have Carmen, who seemed to be showing genuine interest at any level with him earlier than I thought would probably happen in the show, it was like, oh, this stands out even more to me.
100%. And I think that it also extra stands out, like, as we said, Cassie seems to be the last person left like super, you know, infantilizing Bergie compared to everyone else. And so for her to then be like, yeah, I'm interested in him, it's like, well, it doesn't seem like it based on your actions and words. So,
yeah, it was interesting. I mean, she makes very sure to say, like, you should continue to get to know everyone else. Like, definitely go talk to them, because I'm going to Kenan. So I think that
I did like that. I did like that she didn't try to like stop him from actually talking to others.
Oh, no. I agree. And I definitely think that even when people are, you know, like fudging the truth in their feelings, which I think is a part of the show and a part of the game, and like, you want to stay on the show, I don't generally blame people for, you know, doing it lightly. The full gaslight is too much. But I think that as long as she is being upfront with convincing him, not convincing, but like, you know, telling, we're going to continue to get to know other people. Cool. But it also, I think, is a pretty obvious warning sign that Bergie did not pick up on that. Like, she's not that into you, Bergie.
Yeah, Bergie has so much hope. He's so young and full of hope.
Well, he has a lot of options, so she's better watch out.
The last thing I need is for Bergie to get cocky. Because that is unwarranted.
He was ever getting cocky. I feel like Bergie's ego is like as fragile as sugar glass. Like, just breathe on it and it's going to start melting. So I think that, you know, the moment he started to get a tiny bit of a big head, someone would just say something, and like with Victor, just fall back into apologizing.
Okay, well, at least there's that.
I don't know. He could do with some confidence.
I mean, well, I don't want him to have no confidence, but I don't want him to be overly confident. Okay.
It is.
So what did you think of the challenge Rescuers of the Lost Spark?
Ooh, Rescuers of the Lost Spark. Thought it was interesting. Not like my favorite, especially once it was like, all right, pick the snakiest in the villa. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to write down how many each of these girls get. And then very quickly, I was like, oh, they're all going to get one. They're all going to get one. And then Hannah gets two. But again, all very obvious. I don't mean it. Even I think like KK, with the only person who has, not the only person, but like the person who has the most reason to do something, like put this label on someone with Cassie, goes up to her and is like, don't worry, it's just a game. Like, I don't actually think this, like, you're totally in the right. Like, you know, so I just didn't take a single part of that seriously. For Hannah to then cry, it's like, okay, only KK didn't get one. You happen to get two, both from people who made like the stupidest, like over the top, jokey answers. Like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I was confused when she was crying. I was like, what did I miss?
Mm-hmm. And we were both competing for the same man and I came out on top. So like, you're a snake. Like, and obviously Destiny was just trying to shade Marco. It wasn't anything about Hannah. So,
well, and Destiny literally said, I would give it to Marco if I could, but yeah, who you're with is a reflection of who you are. So,
yeah. So I just think it was just like completely random. The fact that, again, everyone but KK got one, it was all jokes.
So, it was dumb. And they always do a challenge like this where, you know, the girls have to like rescue the guy in some way. They've done superhero versions of this in the past.
Well, we'll get two more of these.
Ugh. You're right. You're right. That doesn't mean I have to like it.
I thought the more interesting part would be when the girls had to say something about the guys based on a question they had. Anything interesting in there?
I mean, I thought it was funny when Cassie said Kenan need to be rescued.
Wild. I just feel like there's already been talks of like, Cassie, don't publicly embarrass me. And here's the first time in a challenge that, you know, the first time here in a challenge that Cassie is saying like something that I thought was probably pretty stupid to say.
I mean, I also think this is such a nothing burger. She's like, wow, this guy's been giving me googly eyes. KK just needs to know. And Kenan gets
weird.
So like, it's weird for sure. I'm not going to act like, oh, this is so normal. But the fact that Kenan got so mad and was like, wow, I'm just so disrespected. Okay. He's like, yeah, I've been looking at you. You've been looking at me, but there's been no googly eyes. Like, well, that's what she means though. Like, what do you think she means by googly eyes? Like the ones that you glue onto a craft? Like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. And then he later clarifies, he's like, I would have been totally okay if you said exchanging glances, or like, it's like, okay, you know. And like Anna says, I need a dictionary, thesaurus. So like, it's the same. You're fine, Kenan. I don't think KK took it super seriously. Even KK said like, he's too competitive, he takes all this too seriously, he's getting annoyed. And just like, get over it, you're fine.
Well, and that's the thing too. Yeah, like KK doesn't seem to care about this stuff. And so then when Kenan acts super embarrassed, it just kind of looks bad for him. And I just don't like it. I feel like it's a red flag from him that he gets so irritated by all these little things.
It's not ideal. I mean, the thing is, I think what she said was stupid. I still feel like when they are on a pretty fragile ground trying to explore this thing, for her to like make what could perceived as a jab like at KK and Kenan's relationship, maybe don't do that.
Yeah, it's dumb as hell. She shouldn't have done it, but it's also just like not that big a deal.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just feel like it was all around like everyone was being dumb here.
Yes, I can agree with that, except for KK.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, who's like, yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, she's like, and she even says, she's like, you have not been clear enough with Cassie. Like, if you don't want to pursue her, tell her that. And one of my favorite moments from this series of episodes is Keenan basically laying on the confessional chair, holding his hat up, just ranting like, I told her I'm not going to pursue her. What is going on? It was such a weird angle. I thought it was so funny.
It was giving Zach Rance mad that Frankie Grande is going to give the prize money to charity, which is one of my all-time favorite reality TV moments.
Super funny.
So funny. Bergie has kissed 5 girls in the villa.
Look at him. Look at Bergie. I mean, again, I think it's partially because, you know, people have said Bergie is a safe option when they want to kind of like, you know, kiss someone who's not their partner, but like not get too much heat. They go for Bergie. And I think it does him a little bit of a disservice, but also, what are you going to do?
I mean, he's Bergie.
That's true. It's funny how Bergie was like, well, actually, now Hannah's my number one. Actually, now that I'm coupled up with Cassie, I'm giving it all in. And then Carmen kisses him and he's like, Carmen's always been my number one. I love her. Okay, Bergie.
Yeah, the fact that Carmen was like, you know what? Let me stand up in the middle of this challenge and kiss Bergie instead of Victor was a wild decision.
Okay, so here's the thing. Carmen has been very clear with Victor that she doesn't want to progress too fast. And I think that part of it in her mind is probably kissing Victor is probably going to be a much like greener flag in his mind. Like, okay, like we can start getting physical again and it means more and yada, yada. Whereas with Bergie, like it's fun. It's innocent. Like he's not going to push her past where she wants to go again in the future. And that is probably a consideration in her mind. And when Victor then again takes this so seriously, I think it probably only backs that up, that he's taking this kiss so seriously.
Yeah, I think I get the vibe from Carmen, not even so much that she wants to take things slow, which like might be the case, I don't know. But even more than that, I think she just hasn't met anyone she like really likes in there. So she doesn't really want to jump into something with Victor knowing that her goal would be to go, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean,
and then when Victor acts like such a weirdo about it and Bergie acts normal, it's like, OK, maybe I do like Bergie. I at least like him more than Victor.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is Victor's for all of Victor's like Bergie's not a threat. Bergie is nothing in this house. Like, OK, but even Bergie's like calm friendship presence could be better than your negative. Like, so, I mean, he's still a threat in some direction. You could still go home because you're acting like an ass.
And I hope he does soon.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. Victor was so mad after this challenge, though.
Fuming. He wouldn't even look at Carmen during it, let alone after.
Like, after when Carmen finally pulls him to talk, which, like, maybe she could have done that sooner. She's like, oh, are you mad? And he's like, oh, well, at least you have good eyes. Like, nothing else about you is good. Excuse me?
And I love that she immediately is like, we're not going into this talk with negativity. It can be over real quick if you want it to be. And I love that she just immediately puts her foot down because, again, she's 22, he's 27, and he's acting like such a baby here.
It's so weird. And she's like, I told you about this. I gave you a heads up. You knew what was going on and you didn't, like, you're acting crazy. So I like that she called him out.
Because especially before this, she has a moment where she's talking to Keenan on the patio and she's like, I know that like the guys are talking crap about me, the girls and the guys, they're all beach talking crap about me separately. Victor's down on the beach talking crap about me. Like, everyone is just judging me so hard for this decision that I thought was like innocent and didn't mean anything, and it sucks. So I was a little nervous that she was going to be slightly broken down, but you know, by feeling like fear of rejection of the entire villa, blah blah blah. But so the fact that she stands her ground here like made me that much happier. Even
thankfully Keenan was there to tell her that she's too pretty to cry.
Yeah, that's God.
It's fine for ugly girls to cry, but pretty girls should never cry, obviously.
It's always like one of those things where it's like, you're kind of getting the reaction that like we eventually want to happen, but like you're doing it very wrong.
Just the implication of like, well, but you're pretty, so why would you have a rich inner world or any emotions?
Well, that plus also that, again, it's not it's basically saying stop crying. Also like let her have her feelings. You know, so there's a couple things wrong with it, but like I guess we get where we get ultimately.
And apparently what we learn in this batch is that Keenan is like friendship vibes with all the girls, which I feel like we've seen a little bit of, but not really that much.
I don't know. That's the another thing is they talk about how, you know, Victor says basically like in the conversation with Carmen, like Bergie gets all the fun stuff and he just has to watch. And he complains later that Bergie gets to talk to all the girls and no one else except for Keenan is doing that. And that's on a friendship level. And I'm still like, it's like day six. Like, shouldn't everyone be talking to all the girls?
And truly, Harrison goes, well, but you could do that. Yeah. You could talk to the girls. Like, why don't you talk to the girls then?
So that's what's dumb for me is I feel like everyone has put these artificial rules and where that's like a little bit where I was pushing back over like, oh, Bergie gets away with stuff that other people wouldn't. It's like, well, I mean, they could try.
Well, no, that I'm not saying Bergie's getting away with talking to the girls. That is not what I mean at all, because truly they should all be talking to each other. And if they are too stupid to realize that, like, that's on them.
No, I know. I'm just was as an example that was basically brought up in the episode.
Good thing to queue up for sure, because I don't need to get comments of people being like, they should all talk to each other. Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
I do also like Carmen, because that's the thing is they feel like people get so sanctimonious about the couples that they're currently in. And especially in these early couples, they mean nothing. It's just like who doesn't go home, basically. So when Carmen says to Victor, like, I don't owe you any more loyalty than I owe Bergie. Like, yeah, we're both here right now and we're sleeping in the same bed, but I'm talking to you equally. So I like that. I think later on it could be debated, but I don't see any reason why she should be more loyal to one than the other.
It's been less than a week. So, yeah, queen behavior from Carmen. I think she might actually be my favorite person on the season.
Okay, I was thinking that last episode, like that last podcast, but I was like, is it too early to call? Like, I could really regret this if something happened on like the Sunday episode and I don't know yet. So I was glad to see my inner thoughts validated so far.
Yes, thankfully, nothing has happened yet to make us change our minds.
It's always possible.
We always reserve the right to change our minds about these people.
So.
100%. I don't want to talk about Bergie's little speech, though.
No, I do. I thought it was cute.
I think, okay, here's the thing. Is it cute? Technically, yes. But like, save it for your recoupling later on.
I don't know. I thought it was like, I usually don't give two craps about these speeches. I feel like the first season that we podcasted about it, I would occasionally take, like, I wrote down word for word at first and then jot down a couple notes. And then I just stopped caring completely. None of them like mean anything. They all say the same exact thing. And this was the first time in a while where I was like, oh, he like cares. And like, he like means it. He knows her more so than a lot of people would by this point. Especially, I don't feel like Bergie and Carmen are like having super frequent conversations. It feels like he's actually listening and reference stuff. And she seemed like really into it. And I thought it was super cute talking about building the relationship, like Lego blocks and that type of stuff.
Yeah, and you are welcome to have.
I fell for it. This, yeah, it would do it for me.
Well, now if anyone is hoping to express their love to Scally, they know what to say.
Okay, don't copy and paste. But
he would love something about Lego and building a relationship block by block.
It was because it was like very personal to him and Carmen specifically. It wasn't just like they're cool and I like them and they're funny and they're pretty and wow, they're wearing a cool dress tonight. I'm going to call you. It's like, okay, like they're very generic generally. And this is just the one I can remember out of God knows how many that have been on screen.
Fair enough. I was like, this is corny.
But that's who he is. Like, if you like him, it's because he's corny.
You're right. And like corniness isn't immediately disqualifying. I'm just there a hater. I'm just a hater.
It's not what I'm generally looking for in a Love Island contestant. And I still am not like, wow, Bergy is perfect casting by any means. But I think that this actually was way better than I expected from Bergy. Also, I feel like the person who needed to be coached on like where to put his hands when he's holding hands with a girl, even like, you know, it's like, oh, do I interlock my fingers or do I not? And to him to have like a pretty coherent, good speech was, you know, better than I expected.
I did think it was cute when he started and he did like the long pause, which is obviously what production would tell them to do. I thought that was cute.
Yeah. So, but it also, I would say Carmen says when talking about how she's not bothered about him coupling up with Cash, she's like, but I do want to know if he would have, like, who would he have picked? Who was he supposed to be with? And I think that he doesn't know it, but for her, this tells her, like, he had the speech ready. Like, he was going to pick her, I believe.
I do 100% believe that. And it's especially further pushed by the fact that Cassie then goes to Victor to be a little snake. Like, that's who's most snaky on this island. And like, it's good for TV, but wow, is it a bad showing? Because she goes to Victor and basically is like, wow, but like, would she even listen to you when you were telling her what was wrong? Or she, oh, wow, she was just ignoring your feelings. Oh my God.
There was a lot of Carmen's my girl, but, and I like really like it's, I totally think that it's real, but like also why is it right after the recoupling? And I don't know, there was a lot of seeds being planted, I felt like, and maybe that sent Victor even deeper off the
idea. Yeah, I think it definitely did. And you know what? Give it to Cassie. She's a good player because she wants to stay in the house and maybe she'll pick Victor at the next ceremony, unless someone else comes in that she likes better.
Might be a good pick for the challenge. Just like throwing a couple seeds around the house and seeing what develops.
Honestly, it could work.
Wouldn't be mad.
I would be mad. Actually, I wouldn't be mad because like, am I really gonna, I always say I'm gonna watch it and then am I gonna watch it? No. So I guess my life is fine. If you're fine, I'm fine.
There you go.
Can we talk about the pot of coffee Marco made for Hannah?
Sure.
Why was it that color?
Okay. Now, was it the pot of coffee that Marco made, or was it the leftovers of the pot of coffee that Bergy made and they were showing it?
See, that's what I thought at first. But then, like, the coffees that Bergy made, it seemed like they were fine, except it obviously wasn't very good coffee because Cassie was like, I had to put more sugar in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it looked normal. Like the coffee that Bergy made looked like the right color. So I think maybe Marco reused beans or like maybe put milk in instead of water.
What I thought was confusing was he makes this like, you know, disgusting ass coffee. And then it's like, well, now I can't bring her anything. Like, do you not have more to make? Like, do you not have time?
Like, you have nothing but time. You're in the Love Island villa. You could just choose to make it again, or you could go to her and be like, hey, I really wanted to make you a good cup of coffee this morning because I know how much it means to you, but it turns out I don't know how to make a cup of coffee. Can you please teach me so I can start bringing it to you? That would go such a long way. Like, yeah, I really think Hannah would have loved that if she got to like show him how to use like the espresso machine. And
yeah, I don't know if it would have made up for the future red flags that she's calling out later, but
nothing could.
I don't know. We'll see. I thought it was interesting. I think like maybe it was like, oh, like the guys have gym time in the morning or something. And that's like scheduled on, you know, their daily whatever. But who knows? We'll never know.
I honestly, I don't even want to know.
Is what it is.
Can we talk about Miss Ariana Maddox coming into the house?
I would love to talk about Miss Ariana Maddox at all times.
You know what? A woman who I didn't really know very well until recently, thanks to Scandoval.
Scandoval.
I don't know why I said it like that.
Scandoval, but sure.
I don't know. I really don't know why I said it like that, because you've heard me say Scandoval.
Oh, yeah. Properly. We've talked about it.
So I don't know why I said it like that. I'm just dumb. It's fine. Anyway, so we got a preview of her on the Monday night episode, and I was like, she's just coming in for a competition, right? Like, they called her a bombshell. And for a second, I was like, no, she can't be coming in to join them.
I feel like, okay, if Ariana came in, how do you think she would have done? Do you think people are throwing themselves at her?
I think that she would be a cougar in this house.
It would be an age difference.
Like, she's almost double a lot of the ages of people.
Victor would have been like very excited for the opportunity at an older woman.
Yes. And what? So you want to put poor Ariana with
another? No, no. Like, how would she have done? Like, in another bad relationship, no matter who she ended up with. But I don't think where people were like, obviously she's not going in. Like, yeah, obviously. But also, like, I don't know. She's fine.
I had a second where I was like, oh, I think she might come in.
Yeah. I think a lot of people said that preseason, because this was been forecasted for so long. And that's why I was surprised that even the Islanders, any were surprised or didn't like forecast this and they had other guesses, because this has been leaked for so long. I feel like
I got to tell you, I didn't know.
That's wild. Since the preseason, like, casting had not even been like the cast had not been announced, and it was like Ariana's gonna make a show at some point on Love Island, so no one knew how it was gonna happen. They took so long to confirm Sarah Hyland. People were like, is Ariana hosting? Is she like doing they have like the After Sun on the UK, where they have a like talk show basically, and it was like, is she gonna be hosting that? So people had been speculating for quite a while what capacity she'd be coming in. And this was exactly what I expected. So it was fine.
It's when I was like, what is going on yesterday? This is essentially exactly what you said would happen. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that she's like a Love Island super fan.
I mean, so first of all, like, is she? But also, I think so, kind of, because specifically in the Vanderpump Rules, is it the finale, the second to last finale, whatever it is, she's like, I want to spend quality time, because like, I'm not going to just sleep with you if we're not spending quality time, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I don't have time to watch 700 episodes of Love Island. So specifically, we know that she is a big fan of Love Island.
I do like that he's like, okay, well, I guess that's the only quality time that would be appropriate. So I should cheat on her with her friend.
You know what? Love Island leading to mess even outside of the show.
Well, I mean, but that's Tom's fault for being
obviously
a fucking idiot.
Obviously.
Like, can you, like, that would be like if I was like, oh, boyfriend, spend more time with me. And he's like, oh, but like, I don't want to stream on Twitch, so I can't spend time with you. That's not what I said.
Yeah, so very funny that Love Island is canonically one of Ariana's faves. And then look how it plays out here.
Hey, and you know what? She's been getting a lot of opportunities.
Oh my God. What's the saying? Like, the devil works hard, but Ariana Maddox's the agents work harder.
I don't even think they're having to work that hard.
No. She's on everything. Dancing with the Stars, all of the above.
I forgot about Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm. But how'd you like her appearance here on Love Island?
Well, I thought she looked beautiful, of course. And I feel like she did a decent amount of pushing people.
Yeah, I mean, she 100% had someone in her ear. I think that she is probably too busy to be watching Love Island on a nightly basis at this point. I think she's probably a binger. But
no, I think she's sitting down watching one episode
tonight. Grabbing a glass of wine. I mean, she's still living with Sandoval, it seems, unfortunately.
So. And he is watching 700 episodes of Love Island through the wall. Although, did you see that he's apparently dating someone new now?
Potentially. Yeah, I don't know. It's all over the place. I'm also like kind of trying to avoid. Yeah, I think so. But I don't know. She was fun here. I thought it was funny how Hannah like immediately knew who she was. Carmen even references her sandwich shop. So I do think a couple of them were pretty big fans.
Literally, there were some big fans there.
I mean, that's the thing, is she went from like D-list celebrity to semi-household name very quick.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, again, just like me, I didn't really know.
But how did we like the Ariana's all-time favorite Love Island game, the Mr. and Mrs. competition?
Listen, there's no way this is her all-time favorite game if she's a genuine super fan.
I mean, it's like a fine one. I think my issue is the questions are so consistent that you can just study them all ahead of time.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, people could not speak at all in the villa. And it's like, what's your biggest turn on? What's your body count? Like, okay, we're halfway there.
Yeah, they really do not ask much. Was there anything that you wish they had asked this time that they didn't ask?
Ooh. I like the, if you weren't with your current partner, who else in the villa would you couple up with?
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, like, let's get some drama. You know, is Keenan still saying Cassie? I want to know.
I mean, I think he probably would.
I think so, probably, at this point, too. But, like, who is Victor saying now? Like, he's moving away from Carmen. So where does that go? Is, like, I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's that's true. Okay. There's one specific question that I need to talk about.
Please.
If Harrison and Destiny both write not applicable, that's a match.
No, well, no, it's not. First of all, the not applicable is so. Okay. If they had both written zero, fine. That's obviously valid. But I don't think that's what the answer is. I think they were just like, we're not disclosing.
I think that they decided that body count doesn't matter to each other for their future. And if they're going to make that decision and they both write not, like, not applicable is such an insane answer that for them to both match, that's fine. They can get it. And then Ariana can be like, okay, you get the point. But like, what's the number, Harrison? Tell us. Tell us right now.
I thought it was weird. I don't know. I thought it was really weird.
It was definitely weird. I do not want to act like it's normal, but it was a match.
I guess.
Like, I don't know. But
it
wasn't
in the spirit of the competition.
Yeah, that is fair. It was in bad faith. But how can Beach and Ocean not be a match?
That was weird for me. Beach and Ocean, it was like, nope, not a match. And then it was like Forest, and then Cabin in a Forest are a match, which I'm not disagreeing about being a match, but like Beach and Ocean felt like very much the same match as well.
Like, exactly. Sorry she didn't give you the full story that the penetration happened in the ocean. Like, what?
It was interesting. I think the question that always is highlighted here and always talked about is ultimately going to be the boys' body counts as well.
Always. And you know what? They don't tend to really ask the women's body counts.
I feel like they used to, and that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, it's over now. But Marco lied.
Like, yeah, this was a weird
answer to Hannah, obviously.
Well, the name of the game is to get like a matching score. And so I guess maybe that was the strategy of like, this is what she's going to guess because I haven't told her.
I guess. Oh, yeah. That's what he said, too. He was like, I think she'll guess this. But Ariana's like, I watched the premiere.
Tell you should also have to answer these type of questions. Like, if you're going to ask them in a future game, like, let's ask preseason. They're on the casting questionnaire and we're going to reference if you told the truth both times.
Yes, we need those moments like on F Boy Island when Nikki Glaser's like, excuse me, let me pull your audition tape.
So I mean, the highest body count on the cast, though, even though Marco is revealed that it's 71, Hannah says that it's an ick/red flag, and I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of like, he's 24. So Marco's saying that he's had a lot of time to get to know what he likes, I thought was laughable at 24. Yeah. But also, Hannah saying that like it's an ick and a red flag, I guess, if she wants to say so personally. But I mean, not applicable, question mark. What happened to that?
Yeah, I think that it's a little ridiculous to have it be like disqualifying. That like it's the past is in the past. Like, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. If the future's with you, the future's with you, right? And so why would you let the past hurt what you have going on? Like, that's just cutting off your nose to spite your face, right? But I think it's also like everyone else seems to have had this conversation where they talked about body counts, and it seems like he was avoiding the question. And to me, that is the ick. Like,
that makes more sense. Like, but I don't think
if you're talking about it, talk about it. I think it's fine to not talk about it. But if you're doing it like an evasive way, then I can see why that would maybe be a bit of an ick.
If that was the thing, like, oh, he's lying, so it's an ick, like, sure, but not how.
Yeah, I didn't really get the vibe that that was the problem for her.
No, you know, we also, I mean, the rest is like Leo says 100, but then admits it's not true and it's only 53. And then Victor is 40 to 50. Bergie is 2. Keenan is 17 to 25, which is
so specific.
A wide range for being so specific.
He's like
it's a low enough number that is a wide range to me.
People be out here making choices. I don't know.
Is this like, does third base count?
Yes. 100%, that is the situation. He's like, depending on your definition of sex, it's somewhere between 17 to 25.
17 if we're rounding home plate, 25 if we're counting third base.
I didn't even think of that. That's so silly. For the the biggest turn on, were you surprised to hear back scratch or nah?
I mean, when she says that he's talked about it a lot, like, even I know this at this point, because he's like, why is no one touching me in bed? I want my back scratched. Like, okay. Like, I guess that is his definition of physical intimacy. But
yeah, I thought when he was talking about getting his back scratched that he meant like metaphorically. Like, that he wanted sexual favors and was saying it in like back scratch. I didn't realize he meant literally a back scratch.
I mean, hey.
Everyone loves it. Who doesn't like getting their back scratched?
I actually thought Harrison just writing boobs was much funnier.
The thing is they said, say your biggest turn on, and I just yelled tits at the TV. And I was right for one of them.
Huge strategic error on Harrison and Destiny's part, where like they already know that not applicable is ever never going to be accepted. And yet she just like writes not applicable on the final question and like doesn't take guesses. And it's like, what are you doing? You are automatically giving up immunity.
I feel like a random straight man, and you have to guess his biggest turn on. If you just write boobs, you have a really high chance of getting it. Like, write boobs or write ass. You'll have a high chance at getting it.
Yeah, I forget what. I think she did write some type of answer there. She wrote not applicable on the craziest place she's had sex. And it's like, either just like write bed and hope he guesses that, or like, I don't know.
I haven't done that anywhere crazy, or we haven't talked about it. So I just said not applicable. Girl, this is a competition.
Yeah.
Do you want to be safe or not?
I was like, does she just not want to say on TV? And then like, again, we're on Love Island. Like, why did you show up here?
I wish I knew.
So is what it is.
We also do learn that Cassie's biggest turn on is toe sucking.
Okay, Cassie. Hasn't made it to the show yet, but are we going to see toe sucking on this season?
If I have to see toe sucking,
it wouldn't be the first time.
I know it's not the first time, but every time it happens, I want it to be the last.
I think we will. I think Casa Amor put it in. If Cassie's still there, it's going to be like the woman whose name has a K-A-S-S and a Y in it. Suck the toe of that is good, or vice versa. Like, yeah, I think that's happening in that competition.
I don't want it to. I don't like, I just personally am trying to protect my own peace, and so I don't want it to.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, Hannah and Marco win, so they're going to be safe from the first audience vote, and they get to choose one other couple to be safe with them. What did you think about this?
Okay. I actually am interested about this, like, early safety. I agree. It's never been done to my recollection on any Love Island season, so it's pretty wild. I have no real problem with it. I don't know if maybe giving away to another couple is also like a little overpowered. But
I mean, the bottom two are all that were going to be up for elimination anyways.
Sure.
And I don't think either of these couples were probably going to be in the bottom two. So ultimately it doesn't do anything.
Probably not. But who knows? Like, we have no idea how the public feels about any of these couples yet.
That is true. I was fine with it.
Are you happy with the two couples that are safe?
I'm fine with it. I think at the end of the day, I don't think I'm going to be super upset regardless of who goes home. I think I'd be a bit upset if Carmen went home, but I think people will vote to save her.
I'm not sure.
Or if they end up in the bottom two, I trust production to be like, okay, you can save one boy and one girl.
Yeah.
And she'll get saved and another boy will get saved. And then maybe it'll be Bergie and Cassie versus Carmen and Victor. Like, and then Carmen and Bergie can be saved.
Now that Hannah's safe and she and Carmen were the two newest girls, like, I feel like those OGs are still going to have a bond, even if they don't get along super well. I think that Carmen's in danger there. And so that is why ultimately I voted for Carmen and anyone that happened to be coupled with her to be safe, because I think that she is bringing a lot to the show. And I think that if Carmen goes home and Bergie's still on the show, we have basically lose two people from the show. So that is why I voted for Carmen.
If I had a vote, which again, remember, they took the vote away from Canadians last season, pretty fucked up, if you ask me. I would have voted for Carmen for the same reasons. I don't think the OG girls have like a bond, though. I feel like they fucking hate each other. So I think we'll be okay.
My fingers are crossed. If it was like you can save one person from each couple, like, I'm still nervous because even Cassie is like, I have a soft spot for Victor. I was thinking, like, what if it is like Bergie's couple and Carmen's couple in the bottom two? Like, would they save Bergie and Carmen because, like, oh well, you know, Cassie doesn't really have anything going on and Victor doesn't really have anything going on, so let's save the two people that are interested in each other? Or are they going to be like, Bergie's couplings aren't serious, so let's take that out of the equation? So I'm a little nervous for them.
I think people are getting the vibe that he and Carmen are really getting along. Like, they've kissed outside of a challenge now. I think people will take them a little bit more serious.
We'll see. I'm not confident, but I do think that Bergie will have enough votes regardless.
Bergie's going to be fine. We didn't talk at all about Jasmine, who went home in this batch. I feel like we talked about her yesterday of how, you know, if she goes home, it'll be because she didn't really give enough. And I do think that's what came true. But did you have any like final thoughts on her?
Well, I feel like we said that more about Destiny, actually. So I thought that based on, and this is, again, something I didn't say, but did think, like, I was like, or Destiny could do a big push and he ends up not picking Jasmine and picks Destiny. And like, that's ultimately what happened. The first scene happened, the first like two scenes or whatever happened on maybe like Monday's episode or whatever she went home.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's gone. Like, Jasmine's gone. Destiny's staying. I think that Jasmine was actually a really fun character. She's not, we joked about, like, does she know what show she's on? Did she want to be on Too Hot to Handle? But I think that people even said in the villa, like, she's the goofball. She's going to mix things up. And I think that we lost a pretty fun character for the first boot, sadly.
Yes, I agree. Hopefully she is having fun back in the States. She might not even be back to the States yet, but
it's possible. I love Anna being like Leo is comforting me, but Jasmine will always be my person. It's like, it's been 6 days most. Again,
I loved that. I loved everything about it, to be honest. It's the only time Anna's emoted in the whole time. And so where we are left, there's a few couples that are up for elimination, I guess. So obviously, Leo and Anna are safe. Hannah and Marco are safe. Victor and Carmen are at risk. Bergie and Cassie are at risk. Keenan and KK are at risk. And Harrison and Destiny are at risk.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think is in danger here?
I'm just like writing the fan fiction. I think that Victor and Cassie are going to end up going home because they'll get to save one girl, one boy, and they will save Carmen and Perky.
Here's my thing. Cassie is still good TV.
Cassie is like fine TV. I think that it's going to get old fast and she's just going to end up getting kicked out because she puts her foot in her mouth again. So if she goes out now, then it's like we've gotten peak chaos from her and I'll be fine with it. Like, who would you want to go home?
If I'm being totally honest, it's Harrison and Destiny. I feel like they're kind of boring.
I like Destiny though.
She's fine. I like her as a person, but I don't like have a strong feeling towards her as a character.
That is fine. And honestly, like, I don't care for Harrison either. Like, he's just tall. That's
yeah.
What he has. They're also
I thought they were about to get saved when Hannah and Marco got to save someone, because they're like, they're so new and they're so. Yes. I was like,
so when they started talking, I was like, okay, it's going to be Anna and Leo, obviously. And then they said a little more, and I was like, Harrison and Destiny.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I even thought maybe Carmen at one point, because Marco says like, it's all up to you, and Hannah and Carmen were super close at one point. So I was pretty blindsided by where it went, but. Even when they were like gonna win the challenge, it seemed at one point, I was like, okay, well, Harrison is the newest, and very often the newest people in the villa get immunity from their first vote. I think it would have been ridiculous to have three couples immune here. So yeah.
No, they could not give him immunity.
No. So I would have been fine with it if he had won for that reason. But ultimately, like, I don't know. I don't think Harrison is gonna like be a star on the show by any means. So
oh, you don't?
I would love for Victor to go, but I don't think I worry for Carmen if Victor's at risk.
I agree with that. But so we'll see what happens. The Wednesday episode is going to be the final vote. We'll go from there. Is there anything else? I know I kind of skipped over a bunch. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up that we haven't talked about?
I'm scrolling through. There's something like super specific. I liked when Cassie was a little bit a little insecure almost, when it's like, why do you like Carmen more than me again? And he's like, oh, it's because she wants four kids instead of two. I'm like, oh, that's it. Okay. like nothing about their personalities. It was literally just like, yeah, she's from Wisconsin, so that's cool.
Like, yeah, we just like get each other because we want to have so many kids. Okay.
Yeah. For me, it was just like, very funny that she was like, wait, Bree is like not interested in me? And then it was like, oh, actually, this is nothing.
I mean, I can understand the anxiety.
I don't know. I am excited to see where this goes. I think that hopefully the votes go our way. I don't even know what our way is at this point. I do like almost everyone in the villa, so pretty nervous there, but excited to see the next batch.
Yes, me too. And so I'll be back at the end of the week with Sasha to break down the rest of this week. So that'll be a new and exciting adventure. We'll see what happens with this I assume there's going to be an elimination and a recoupling by then. So that's a lot to take in.
It feels possible. I'm not sure. I would feel like we would need some new bombshells. So maybe they'll do one more Sunday recoupling. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, that's possible as well. So again, Love Island USA, you never know what's going to happen. So we'll just see. And we're just kind of vibing and dealing with it as it comes. Scally, where else can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
People can find me on Twitter at Brian_Scally. They can find me on Twitch at /BScally. They can also check out the Dom and Colin podcast feed for challenge coverage when Challenge USA is here. And when Big Brother comes back, I'll be hanging out over there. So be around.
Yeah. I can't believe Big Brother's coming next week. I'm going to die. Soon. Like I'm going to pass away. So if everyone wants to just say a little prayer for me, head over to the Hot Dummies on Islands podcast feed. Give it a 5-star rating and review. If you really feel sympathy for me, listen, like hit up a girl on PayPal, you know, it's fine. But you can hear me on Mess Magnets and also on the Hot Dummies on Islands feed. You can hear me talking about Temptation Island, The Big D, and Too Hot to Handle. So there's plenty of cursing content coming your way. And anything else, I'll post on Twitter and Threads at Kirsten Said What. But I will see you at the end of this week to talk about week 2, part 2. And we'll see you then.
If you're looking for love, well, you've come to the wrong place. Because Kirsten and Scally, well, they don't know a thing. And the men that they cast on this show are truly a disgrace, so we don't care.